What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Everything Horror Podcast. Tonight, we are talking about the 1987 movie, The Monster Squad. I forgot what did I say? This is like the 30th anniversary?
35th anniversary
of 1987's Fred Dekker's The Monster Squad. I'll be your host for the evening. I'm Dustin Walker. Some people might know me as Cannibal Kiddo. We are joined here with the hosts, Tessa Baker and Paul Dolsky. What's up, guys?
What's up?
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? And Jeremy. Back
to talk about the classic, the cult classic, pitting the Goonies versus the Universal Monsters. But, how do we start this off? So let's start off with Fred Dekker and Shane Black. I think Shane Black, right?
Yes.
So Fred Dekker made Night of the Creeps first, and Shane Black did Predator, I think, first. Or he was in Predator anyway, before they came together for the Monster Squad. One of my favorite genres of movies, I mentioned it before, is the kids on bikes genre. The Goonies, the Explorers, Stand By Me, and of course the Monster Squad. But first let's start off, how did you guys first discover the Monster Squad? We'll start with Tessa.
Well, I came across Monster Squad when I was younger. It was like one of those movies that I watched when I was a kid, kind of like how I also watched the original, The Blob. So it was like one of those things that I came across when I was a kid, and I just thought it was really cool, and I liked the idea of it, and I was like in my glory watching this movie as a kid, and sitting here, you know, tonight with Paul and revisiting it, you know, 35 years after it was made, it was just nostalgic.
About you, Paul?
So I discovered it back in the old days when there used to be a Blockbuster in my town, and I still have my Blockbuster card to this day, too.
Me too.
So I would go every Friday night and Saturday because I would never keep movies for the whole goddamn weekend. I would have to return them the next day just to get more. But anyway, the point to this is that's where I found it. And I think it was the cover art that really got my attention. And, you know, we're just like, oh, the Monster Squad. And kind of like what Dustin was saying at the beginning, it's like the Goonies versus the Universal Monsters, basically. So
it really is. That's a great reference.
And yeah, exactly. And like, you know, when you sit down and actually watch it, you just, I don't know, you just appreciate it. You just appreciate everything about it, from the visual effect to the acting to the writing, really, because for Shane Black and Fred Dekker, their writing at that time was very well. But then we got like 2018, where Shane Black and Fred Dekker come back to write The Predator, which is just complete hot garbage. So, I guess there were some things about The Predator I didn't mind, but that's another podcast. We're talking about The Monster Squad. But anyway, it's really interesting to go back 35 years later and rewatch this, like Tessa said. So I guess, and tie it up with a little bowl, Blockbuster was basically where I discovered the Monster Squad.
So yeah, that was very similar to what I how I first discovered it. I had two older brothers, and they used to watch it all the time. And me and my friends, we would always rent horror movies from Blockbuster every Friday and Saturday. And my older brothers mentioned Monster Squad to me, and I just fell in love with the movie. I mean, it was just like me and my friends. We'd pretend to go out and catch monsters and stuff. And I used to love the old Universal Monsters. Paul's holding up a Killer Clowns. I don't know what that was, but yeah. But yeah. So yeah, I fell in love with this movie when I was a kid. I thought Rudy was the coolest. Is that a soundtrack?
You got it.
The Teotos. But yeah. So Monster Squad. So let's just get into the movie. So it starts off. Van Helsing is trying to open a portal that's going to destroy evil. Is that what it was? It's supposed to suck up Dracula and the opening crawl. It's going into everything they're doing, and it ends with they blew it. Not dating the movie at all.
Right. The black hole sucks up everything. Everything that's supposed to be evil. It's supposed to get sucked up in the vortex, black hole, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but somehow they blow it, I guess. I don't know if they really explain
how they blew it. The good guys got sucked up into limbo, not the bad guys. Van Helsing, the girl that was doing the chanting, and like some other members of the group got sucked into limbo instead of Dracula.
So, what do you guys think of this Dracula, since he's the first monster we come across? Well, besides the, I think there's female vampires at the beginning of it, but Dracula's like the main first one we see. What do you guys think of him?
As far as like the aesthetics for his character, I thought that they did a good job with him. Like, they gave him, like, you know, the classic iconic cape and, like, black and red cape and, you know, formal dress attire, slicked back hair, you know, the pull, like, you know, Dracula jewelry, the fancy Wolfman cane type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, aesthetically, he was, you know, he was well done.
Yeah, for me, I feel like it set the tone for the movie. We're not going to take it too seriously. It's going to be cheesy, but that's part of the charm of this movie, I think.
That's the charm for most, like, 1980s horror films.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, exactly.
So then we flash forward. After they blow it, Van Helsing blows it, and we flash forward to the 80s, where we meet our first two members of the Monster Squad, who are getting in trouble in school and explaining that they just love monster movies. And
yeah, Sean and Patrick, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's
yep.
his name.
Sean, Patrick. Yep, Sean and Patrick.
Yep, and so they're starting, or they have a club where they hang out and just watch movies. And then we're introduced to Horace, who's getting bullied by the brother from The Wonder Years, another movie show I used to love as a kid.
EJ,
yeah. And EJ's an asshole. And then
major asshole.
And then Rudy comes in, who for me, as a kid, two of the coolest people I could think of was Rudy and Fred Savage. I just thought those two were the coolest people. Who Fred Savage was also in The Wonder Years. So, but what'd you guys think of our cast of? I think we're missing one, the little kid with the Confederate hat. But what'd you guys think of the Monster Squad, like the actual group?
Bunch of nerdy kids, I would say. I mean, they definitely were trying to get the monster lore. Or lore, because when they were in their little treehouse discussing ways of killing monsters, it was just like, you know, they were trying to say left and right, like, oh, you kill them with this, you kill them with that. Well, what's the second way of killing them? Oh, like, I thought it was funny when Ruby was trying to say you kill a werewolf by silver bullets, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And
well,
then,
what's the second way?
Yeah.
It comes back at the end of the movie.
It does. So I would say they're just a bunch of nerdy monster horror lovers, really, that just are fascinated by everything like we are, you know? They're a fans of the old monsters too.
What was the main kid's name? Was it Sean?
Yes. Sean was the leader.
So this last time I was watching the movie, I think it was in Sean's room, I'm pretty sure. I noticed he had a Lucio Fulci zombie poster in the background. I was like, who the hell was watching that movie in the 80s? Like, what American kid was watching that movie in the 80s? An Italian horror movie. I thought that was pretty cool because I love that movie, but yeah, I didn't know that movie was so popular back then.
Well, that's like the old school Burger King near the end, you know?
Yeah, I've seen that too, yeah.
Like, oh my god, like, that is so old.
Nostalgia overload.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what happened next?
They find that book.
Sean's mother finds Van Helsing's journal at the estate.
Yes.
And selling the house. Yep. Yeah, and she brought it home for Sean because she's like, this is like right up your alley, you know.
Van Helsing. Yeah.
Everything's in German.
Everything's in German. Got to get it translated by the scary German guy. Everybody thinks he's a monster.
One thing I forgot was I don't remember when it was introduced, but Sean's dad is a sheriff or detective or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we go to the police station and we meet the werewolf.
Walk me up!
Yeah. John Grease.
Yeah, that guy pops up in movies every once in a while. I guess the one that most people remember him from was Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite.
He's
also the sheriff in the movie The Sasquatch Gang, which was kind of a Napoleon Dynamite ripoff, but I like that movie too. But every once in a while that guy pops up and I always say, that's the Wolfman from Monster Squad.
That's right.
But yeah, I love the Wolfman in this movie.
Yeah, they're all unique in their own way. Even the Frankenstein, which I think is played by Tom.
Who was it?
Tom Noonan plays Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein, right?
Yeah, like even that sort of Frankenstein costume
worked sort well.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, you know, the black and white, like, Frankenstein. Maybe when, like, Bela Lugosi played as him, I would say.
Right, yeah. But yeah, well, let's talk about the monsters here. So we have Dracula, Wolfman, the Gillman, I think is what he's called in this one. Frankenstein, the Mummy. Did you guys have a favorite of them?
It's probably going to sound cliche of me because I like the character design and look for the Wolfman.
Mm.
But they're all pretty neat in their own ways. Like, I actually liked them all. I even like Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, one thing I was looking at this last viewing was how small the mummy was compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
Did anybody even play the mummy, or was that just like some sort of visual effect? But I'm wondering if that was actually the only visual effect.
I think that's like the only one that was a visual effect because I don't see him.
Right. Yeah, I would, because when we did get to the scene with, or at least the credits, when the credits were rolling, it did say that the visual effects was shot on a 65 millimeter film, which that is very hard to shoot on. So props for them.
All the monsters I thought looked great. Like I said, they, looking back on it, it was a little cheesy by today's standards, I guess, but that's part of the charm of it. I mean, in some of them, they do kind of look like Halloween costumes that you would get from like a Spirits or something like that. But I thought the Wolfman was great. He was always my favorite growing up. Creature from the Black Lagoon was one of my favorite Universal monsters. So to see the Gill Man pop in this one, I thought he looked great. Was there any like monsters you guys would have liked to have seen that they didn't show? Invisible Man would have been great to show up.
Yeah, I could see the Invisible Man. That would have to definitely be another visual effect, I believe. So maybe, honestly, I think they really picked the best monster for this. Anyway.
Yeah, the best monster lineup.
Yeah, I can't really think of what other one I would want to see besides, I guess, the Invisible Man. Because, yeah, that would be interesting. But otherwise, I'm not really complaining of what I did see.
So, getting back to the movie, with the story anyway. So, he has the book, and they start to figure out that there's monsters in the town, right? He overhears that there's a werewolf at the police station or something.
Yeah.
Then Dracula gets Frankenstein. That's when we go to the actual airplane where he actually gets Frankenstein off the airplane, and it drops into the lagoon or whatever it is.
But then, that's because the pilot or whatever the hell he was, he was trying to put, like, you know, he was trying to open up the bottom of the plane so that way he could dump Dracula too, because he was like, you know. And then Dracula right there, like at the little comedy moment there, was just floating in the air like, ha ha, nice try, sucker. Yeah, just like, nice try, sucker.
Yeah, which they got off light, considering throughout the rest of the movie, Dracula's just chunking dynamite at people like it's candy. He did nothing to them. He just bounced out as soon as they opened up the plane.
Yeah. What to do it anyway, I feel like.
Yeah, and Sean.
What was it?
Sean had gotten the idea that Dracula was present in the world because of the message that his mom had written on the dry eraser board about an Alucard calling from school inquiring about Van Helsing's journal. And he kind of rearranged the letters and spelled out Dracula.
Right.
Because Alucard spelled backward. That's Alucard Dracula spelled backwards.
Right. Dracula.
Yeah.
So, does they ever explain how Dracula knew about how Sean had the book? I mean, did that just come out of nowhere?
I think it just came out of nowhere because he just knew, like, Dracula just knew that Van Helsing's journal was gone.
Maybe
he could
sense
it.
I'm not, yeah.
I would think maybe he could sense it because he could also sense where the amulet was.
Right, yeah. So that's the like the main point for Dracula. They're trying to get this amulet so that evil can rule or something. I think it's stated by the creepy German guy or scary German guy, whatever his name is.
Scary German guy, yeah.
Every 100 years, the amulet can be destroyed, and evil will rule or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's Sean and. And the rest of the Monster Squad decide that no one's going to believe them in town. It's up to them to stop the monsters from ruling the night. So they all squad up, and we get our 80s montage of kids on bikes getting their weapons together and going after the monsters.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, for the record, since we're going into the squad for a minute, I'll just say I applaud Ruby's character. Yeah, Ruby's character played by Ryan Lambert. I like the fact that when Horace was playing, was getting picked on at school because he was eating a Snickers, that he basically made that bully who stomped on it basically eat it. Like, take that, sucker.
Yeah, you dropped your candy bar.
Yeah.
It's not mine.
EJ.
It is yours now.
Yeah, EJ.
Yeah, I used to love that part as a kid. I thought Rudy was just the coolest. I thought when I grew up, I was going to be wearing leather jackets and
I was going to smoke like around high water kids jeans. Like that.
Yeah, I'm going to be smoking. He was in junior high. He's so much cooler than everybody else.
Yeah. And then you mentioned Dustin that he, you know, now we get the montage scene where basically or the nostalgia scene of, you know, everybody trying to get their weapons together. So can we talk about how the hell did Rudy get like all the shit into the school without being caught to even make the silver bullets out of
making bullets, yeah.
Yeah, making the bullets.
Silver bullet mold.
And like, man. Yeah, and like the wooden stakes. Like, oh, here, see, look at this nice birdhouse or whatever the hell it was that he was showing the teacher.
Box. Yeah. Like a box he made.
He goes and steals the arrows.
Check out the shoe box with a hole in it. You know, isn't this cool?
Yeah, I think this is cool. It came out the way I wanted it. Oh, now you're gone. Let me start sharpening the stakes.
Yeah, that's a thing about 80s movies, right? I mean, how many family movie? I guess this was considered a family movie back then, but how many family movies do you see nowadays where kids are just running around with shotguns and pistols and going to war with the creatures of the night?
Besides Supernatural?
Does this predate the PG-13? Or did they have PG-13 yet in this when this movie came out?
Oh, they had to have been PG-13.
Because I know a lot of these PGs was like hard PGs back in the 80s. I don't remember when the PG-13 actually came out.
For like horror-wise?
For anything. I can't even remember. I think Steven Spielberg might have came out with the PG-13.
Well, Universal Monsters were all PG-13. So there was no rated R about the Universal Monsters.
Right.
It says certificate PG-13.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one just made the cut. You get plenty of shits and assholes and... We don't get any full frontal nudity or anything, but they rode the line.
They rode it just in time, baby.
Yeah, and they actually went over why it's PG-13. There's actually stuff written down on it for why it's rated PG-13.
You want to share like, some?
For example, sex and nudity. In the scene with the kids in the treehouse, Rudy is shown peeping at a girl with binoculars. The teenage girl is clearly seen in her bra and underwear for several seconds. It's meant to be provocative. So, profanity. One use of fuck, doofus, oh God, stupid, shut up, God, my God. Whore, spaz, oh my God, and two uses of wuss and bitch paired with son of a, three uses of hell and Jesus Christ, four uses of fag, six uses of damn, three paired with God, five uses of virgin and ass paired with three whole, and 12 uses of shit paired with one chicken shit.
Chicken hey
guys,
shit.
Don't be such chicken the shit.
Chicken shit.
Some rude, suggestive comments made by kids and quite a lot of swearing profanities like shit, damn, hell, bitch, both made by directed towards children. A kid refers to a woman as Skags. Two teenage boys refer to another character as a faggot twice. The regular kids talk about someone being a homo. A kid calls his friend butt love, and they use the term feed several times. They shout, kick him in the nards several times. Again, not profanity, but the kid, Horace, is often referred to as the fat kid and teased about his weight.
Yep.
And then, of course, Phoebe's character says, don't be a chicken shit.
Yep.
It sounds like an R-rated movie by today's standards.
So for the alcohol, for the alcohol, drugs, and smoking, it's rated as mild. The oldest member of the group, Rudy, smokes cigarettes in some cases. And one of the dads smoke.
Yeah, Deshaun's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why it's pretty much rated PG-13.
Which nowadays, going back to this, you know, from looking at it from back in the day to now, especially with the word faggot, like, how do you guys feel about that word nowadays, like, in movies? Like, do you feel like, oh, damn, like we were just really stupid with our ways of talking back then to what it sort of means now, you know? You know, after hearing that a couple times again, like, rewatching it, it was just kind of like, damn, maybe we've improved a lot within the last 35 years of how we talk and bully and everything, just a little bit. But, like, you know, when you say that word now, you know, it's like, now you can take it offensively, and I don't know. I'm just curious about what your guys' thoughts are on the word of that.
Like, for me, it's definitely a word that I used a lot as a kid, referring to, like, friends and family members, and, you know.
Right.
But it is a word that now when I hear it in, like, movies or something like that, it's shocking. It's something you don't hear too often anymore, and we've kind of moved past that as a society.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, the last thing I really can remember hearing it in was probably something like South Park.
Mm. South Park. Oh, where they
rewrote the definition of the word.
Yep. And pretty soon we're going to be rewriting a lot more definitions of words, I feel like. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's how society evolves, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Monster yep. Squad. I have the Monster Squad. Tessa's holding up the Monster Squad. That was at the DVD or
It's the two discs 20th anniversary edition.
I'm pretty sure that's the same one I had, but I could not find it anywhere because I was trying to find it for the commentary. I didn't know if it had it on there.
Yes, but this is my
copy. I looked everywhere for it. I couldn't find it. That's the same one I'm pretty sure I had. Did you guys get to listen to the commentary on there?
I think we listened to it before, but not tonight.
I don't remember it, honestly. If we did, I definitely don't remember the commentary.
It's been a couple of years, babe.
Yeah. Obviously. I mean, when I saw Dustin's little message... Well, when Dustin first announced about, like, possibly doing this episode, it's like, holy shit, that's a movie name I haven't seen, heard in a couple of years. So,
I was just gonna say, I also have the soundtrack on vinyl. It was actually a gift from Paul.
That's right.
It's got that, the only one I can remember is the ending theme song, which I cannot remember any of the lyrics from it, but it's like a Monster Squad rap or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, where they're talking about, like, they're Dracula and Frankenstein, you need stakes and this and that, yeah. That's, I think, just called the Monster Squad.
Oh, yeah.
I think
it's one of my favorite lines. We the Monster Squad.
That's all.
So, where did we leave off on the movie?
The book was found from the estate. The mother gave it to Sean because that's where he is.
Sean puts two and two together that there are monsters in the world and they need to get this book read by somebody who understands German. So
is a virgin.
Right. That's what, yeah. We had to get the virgin to read it.
Yep.
So that's when Rudy and Patrick decide to blackmail Patrick's sister.
Correct.
With Frankenstein, I think, took a picture of her while she was changing earlier in the movie.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, because Rudy were trying to, like, basically have the photo developed, and as he's looking through, he, like, kind of spits. She, like, spits out his cigarette or something. Right. And he's like, what the? And then the next thing we see Frankenstein holding up the picture while everybody else is trying to jump and grab the picture. Yep. So fun.
So then, what was it? I think it's Dracula shows up at Sean's house, blows up the clubhouse. How he knew where Sean lived and that they hung out in this clubhouse. Maybe he'd been watching them for weeks. Who knows? He shows up with his dynamite and has a showdown with Sean's dad, the sheriff or the detective, whoever he was. And they all meet up in Times Square.
Dev.
Yeah.
Dev was the detective?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a great detective. No, I'm a great police officer. That's what he kept saying. But we meet up in Times Square, the Monster Squad versus the monsters. So what'd you guys think of this final showdown?
Well, first off, we'll just mention real quick that before the final showdown, that Sean's dad there, when he finally like arrived back at the house to see Dracula after he exploded the kid's treehouse up and everything else, also lit the dynamite and threw it, and then basically exploded his partner inside of the vehicle, and like kind of like, I'm gonna come and get your son.
Yeah, like Detective Sapir.
Yeah,
went up in flames.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I feel like those two just didn't want to ever take on any sort of case, because his partner always complained, like, this is too hard. Maybe we should just do something else instead. It's like, wow, dude. Like, wow. Like, why are you a police officer then? Is everything so hard? I don't know. But anyway, for the final showdown for me, anyway, I thought that was pretty cool, especially when Eugene wrote the note to the army, and right, yet the army show up wait at the scene and everything. Otherwise, I feel bad for Phoebe, because she defended Frankenstein, as Tessa noticed in the film again, too, as we were talking sort of near the end, that, you know, it's like, it's kind of sad that Frankenstein finally, like, feels like he also has a friend, and he knows that he has to go into the vortex, the black hole thing, just because otherwise it's going to just keep staying open until he is in there.
Right. He gets the, whatever that is, the little stuffed animal she throws to him while he's going back.
Scrappy?
Scrap, yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Scraps. So
what's your thought, babe?
So I did enjoy the final showdown. I especially liked the fact when the freaking three like vampire brides show up and freaking Rudy's like, they're like, where are you going? And freaking Ruby's like, I'm in the freaking group, aren't I? Like, I need to go do something. So, you know, I liked the showdown as a whole, like, even with, like, Dracula trying to pull Sean into limbo, and then Sean gets a hold of a stake, stakes Dracula, and then you see Van Helsing taking freaking Dracula off into limbo.
Yep, with the thumbs up.
Like, yeah, you did it. Awesome.
100 years later, we finally did it.
So earlier we mentioned when they were testing Rudy to get into the club, they said, how do you kill the Wolfman? And he says, silver bullet. And they say, that's not the only way or something. He says, so what's the second way? right? So we get the answer to that when Sean's dad puts the dynamite in Wolfman's pants and pushes him out the window, and he explodes, and the Wolfman's body parts all just pull back together and reform.
That's right, which makes no sense to me.
His clothes were magically sewed back together and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
everything was just magically just aesthetically perfect again, and no flaws whatsoever.
Yeah, and then when Rudy finally shoots him, he's like, thank you. Like, that's finally.
There was like, a show.
All I wanted.
There was a show back when I was a kid. I think it was called Wolfman on Campus or something like that. I cannot remember. But it was about a werewolf, and he's fighting another werewolf. And it was a kid's show. It was a family show. But so they need a silver bullet to kill the other werewolf. They don't want to kill the other werewolf because they're friends. So at the end of the episode, it comes down to it where instead of shooting him in the chest, they shoot him in the leg. And that cures his werewolfism. Do you think anything like that ever happened in any other kind of movie? Is there a way to not kill the Wolfman but cure him by shooting him with the silver bullet?
Are you talking about the TV series, by the way, called Big Wolf on Campus?
Probably. I'm sure that's it.
A teenager who becomes a werewolf after being bitten by one on a camping trip uses his new ability to protect his hometown from other supernatural entities.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
I remember they had a gag on there, Muffy the Werewolf Slayer, I think it was.
Oh, boy. It probably was. Do you remember anybody that was in it? Like Danny Smith? I think Smith? It was
a bunch of Canadians, so I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure. Danny Smith, I think, was like one of the main actors. He looks like he might have been one of the main protagonists then. Yeah. But anyway, back to Monster Squad. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, there's so many different ways to go about that. I mean, if we're going to just throw names real quick, we're also throwing maybe like Wolf Cop,
right? I don't think I've sat through that whole movie before.
Yeah, I don't know if I have either, to be honest. But did you guys know that the Monster Squad was actually nominated for 4 awards and only won 3 out of the 4?
Oh, yeah. I thought you was about to say it was nominated for a Razzie for a second. That was about to blow my mind.
Oh, man.
So what did it win for?
Well, what?
I was just gonna say, did you know that the scene where Dracula lifts Phoebe up and she screams was done in one take? There was no reshoot for that.
Amazing.
So how'd they do that? Was somebody like holding her up, or she's standing on a stool?
Duncan Regner wouldn't wear his red contacts or fangs around the 5-year-old Ashley Bank because it scared her too much. For the scene, director Fred Decker just told Ashley to scream once the platform raised her. And when she asked when, Decker told her, "Oh, you'll know," and proceeded to shoot. The terrified scream you hear when Dracula opens his eyes is Ashley's genuine scream of fright.
That's a genuinely creepy scene. There's a handful of like creepy scenes in this that earlier in the movie where they're in the like mansion and the Wolfman first pops out around that corner and they go run down the hall. And then you have the 3 vampires down the hall moving. I remember watching that as a kid and actually being kind of freaked out by that.
Oh yeah, when Wolfman is coming down the hall, Dracula would come down the hall, and then the Dracula would rebride. Yeah,
right. There's like a handful of those scenes like that in this movie.
Also, another thing to mention, because you just mentioned the brides. So there's a section that you on here. It also says, "Did you know it's a goof?" Is when the 3 pantry girls have become vampires and they walk down the hallway towards the three of the Monster Squad boys, their reflections are visible in the mirror on the wall to the right of the screen. And they're not supposed to have reflections because they're supposed to be vampires.
A creepy German guy mentioned that earlier in the movie, that he wouldn't have a reflection if he was a vampire.
Exactly.
And Monster Squad breaking its own rules.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, to go back to what Justin was asking, was what did they win for? They won at the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films in the USA, was the best DVD classic film release. They also won for Brussels International Festival of Fantasy Film. The winner was for something, but it had to deal with Fred Dekker, so I'm assuming has something to do with the writing or being one of the writer, directors. I don't know. For some reason, actually, there's nothing here that said what that was for. So, but Fred Dekker apparently won that. Also, they won the Young Artist Awards in 1988 for the outstanding young actors and actresses in symbol and television or motion picture. So all the kids basically won, got that reward for the Young Artist Award. Yeah.
So no Emmys or anything.
Alright. Nope. So did anybody notice that at the start of the movie with the plane where Dracula first appears, has Browning written on the side of it?
Yeah. It has what?
Browning written on the side of it.
No, I don't think I noticed.
Yeah, I know that.
It's a nod to the director Todd Browning, who directed Dracula of 1931.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Bela Lugosi with Dracula.
Nice.
That's cool. Yeah, I noticed it, and I guess that never clicked until now you just said that. That's a really nice Easter egg. Oh, that's
sad, too. Oh, actor Brett Shalin, who portrayed Horace, the fat kid, tragically died of pneumonia in 1997.
Wow. I did not even know that.
So he was 12 in the movie, so he was in his early 20s?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. 1997, died of pneumonia.
Wow. That's sad. A lot of sad things when it comes to, like, these older 80s films. Like, look at Poltergeist actress. She died from something that was going on with her. Right? Yeah, she had some sort of weird virus, yeah.
And then older sister was, like, strangled to death by her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, and then, like, the people that played the parents even had their own, like, weird mishaps. It's definitely weird.
Yeah.
That's why you can also learn about it all on Shudder Cursed Films, I bet.
Every time I try to watch Shudder anything, I get super lag problems and will not finish the movie. I think I've tried to watch Curse, that one you talked about a few times. But
yeah, Curse Films.
Yeah,
it's a good one if you can get it to work, so that sucks that you're having issues with it.
So that's why they did it the way they did it for that. So due to licensing issues, the crew had to create characters that were suggestive but not exact copies of the Universal iconic monsters. The challenge was to suggest those classic creatures without really copying them, explained Shane Mallon. Because we did not have the permission or the license to use those specific images, so we could do a Gill Man, for example, but it couldn't look too much like the creature from the Black Lagoon. So the Frankenstein monster looks a bit like Karloff creature, but instead of the bolts in the neck, he has bolts in his forehead.
All right, that's where he hooks the electrodes up at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that cane that Dracula has that makes Frankenstein come to life, I want one. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's not very handy.
Yeah, it'd be cool. You could, instead of like little clip-ons to electrodes or whatever, you have like USBs come out of it.
Exactly, yeah. Just point it up to the sky, especially with the weather that we've had lately with all these random thunderstorms. Just point it up to the sky, make your car come back to life that way or something.
Right.
It's alive!
So yeah, wrapping up the movie, we have the showdown with the Monster Squad versus the Monsters. Horace takes on the Gillman. Sean and his dad take on Wolfman. Frankenstein and Dracula, they go off into the portal. The mummy. It jumps on the back of the car, and they wrap the bandage around a arrow, and Rudy shoots it into a tree, which answers the question, what happens when you unravel a mummy? And then the military shows up, and we get our closing rap song.
Not just that, but when they show up, they want to know who Eugene is.
Yeah.
Well, what happened here? Oh, we got this. Well, who are you? Reaches in his pocket, pulls out the Monster Squad business card that they basically did in school. We are the Monster Squad. Yeah! And they're like high-fiving, hugging each other. Like, what the hell is this? Like, this,
you know, I would have loved a amazing Saturday cartoon of follow-up to the Monster Squad, anything. But this is all we got.
Yeah. There's that other thing you mentioned. The Lucio
Lucio Fulci's zombie?
Yeah. Is visible in the background of the clubhouse, but there was also a poster for the Return of the Living Dead, the 1985 version, visible on the wall of the clubhouse.
Jeez. Who watched these movies in the 80s? These movies didn't get popular until well into the 90s. Trying to remember the little kid with the little dog. He had something on his wall, but I cannot. Oh, it was a Punisher, a poster of Punisher in the background of his room, which I thought was pretty dope. But yeah, that's the Monster Squad.
Would you still recommend this movie? Up, and
the movie I still go back and revisit. I used to. I remember I was dating a girl in high school, and she had never heard of the Monster Squad, so of course I made her watch that, and she loved it. And years later, when I had my own daughter, I got her to watch the Monster Squad. Don't think she liked it that much. She probably doesn't even remember watching it, but everybody in my family has watched the Monster Squad.
Baby steps. At least once. Baby steps.
She did like Killer Clowns from Outer Space. She had her own Killer Clowns from Outer Space party when she was 5.
That's amazing.
That is incredible.
That is amazing. We're going to definitely have to do a Killer Clown from Outer Space episode, because I just love that goddamn movie, too.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I also like it as well.
Yeah, talking about Killer Clowns, me and a coworker were talking about Suzanne Snyder, and I used to say that I was telling him that everything she was in, I loved. And I had, like, the biggest crush on her growing up.
Who didn't?
Weird Science, Killer Clowns, Return of the Living Dead Part 2. But then, Literally, that night, I go home and I find a Keanu Reeves movie that I'd never seen that had the aunt from Full House in it and Keanu Reeves. And Suzanne Snyder was in it. I was like, what the hell is the coincidence in that? That we're talking about Suzanne Snyder and I see a movie that night that I've never seen her in.
That's usually how it works, as far as I know.
Yeah, these devices are listening to us, I swear.
Stop listening to us!
Or more. I mean, give me some more Suzanne Snyder suggestions.
Just look her up on IMDb and look her up what else she's in, I guess.
I'd like to be surprised, Paul.
Oh, well, then be surprised. Yes, be surprised then, why don't we? So, I guess real quick, since I don't think what I said got heard. So, Dustin, since you kind of mentioned that you show everybody this film. So 35 years later, do you still think this film holds up to today?
For sure. Like, I still love this movie. There's parts of it that still like, are genuinely creepy, I think. It's one of those movies that is a good gateway for, like, kids to get into horror movies. Like, this one, The Gate's another one that I think is great, like, horror movie.
Yes, The Gate.
Yeah.
Amazing movie.
Killer Clowns. Tessa mentioned The Blob earlier. The remake of The Blob I absolutely love. It's one of my favorite remakes. And that's another one I think is a great, like, gateway movie for kids to get into these, like, horror movies nowadays are different. They're more, like, I guess, psychological. These older ones with the monsters I think were more fun. But
yeah.
What about you, Tessa? Do you think this movie still holds up? And
oh, hell yeah. Still holds up after 35 years. Full-blown nostalgia right across the board. Like, I'll never get sick of watching this movie.
I'll never get sick of watching it. Yeah, no, I was just going to say real quick, yeah, I mean, I don't see myself ever really getting sick of this movie. It's one of those gems like Goonies, you know, we're kind of saying, like, these kids kind of remind us of Goonies. Well, it's true. It's definitely true. It's got that vibe so much. And then Universal Monsters, I mean, I'm sorry, like, as we were kind of talking about the license stuff, but you definitely know that's what they were going for. Right. License or no license, you still knew what they were trying to give us.
There's one thing, I think Night of the Creeps came out before Monster Squad, I'm pretty sure.
1986.
But I guess they must have wrote this movie before that movie came out. Because you remember, which I think we've mentioned it before on the podcast, where they're in the bathroom in Night of the Creeps, and on the bathroom stall it's written Monster Squad Rules in the background. So I don't know, maybe this Fred Dekker and Shane Black, maybe growing up they had an actual Monster Squad or something that they actually adapted into a movie.
You know, I kind of wish Tessa could have found her book that I got her a couple years ago that is about the Monster Squad there. The Monster Squad Werewolf Got Nard book or something. I can't remember what it's called.
I'll have to find it, Dustin. And when I do, I'll like send it, like send a picture of it. But yeah, it was something that Paul had gotten me as a birthday present, I think.
Some type of gift, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my birthday presents. But anyways, yeah, it's a pretty neat book. I'll have to find it, but it has to do with the Monster Squad and talking about, like,
I want to say it was, like, basically the making of it, like, yeah, everything that kind of went into it.
Yeah, the making of it, all the makeup and everything.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those type of rare books, I guess, where it was like, well, we might as well try to get our hands on it now, because who knows how much it's going to be, like, down the road.
Right. I used to see books like that all the time, and I would never get them. And now...
No, you're just like, damn it.
I would out, like, we had a Hastings, and I would see those kind of books at Hastings all the time, and now we don't have a Hastings. And I never see that stuff out in the wild anymore.
Yeah, it's really not. And it's because once 10 years goes by for whatever book that you were hoping to see out in the wild, it basically vanishes is what happens. So basically they say a book has a shelf life of like 10 years before you basically don't see it again until there's maybe enough demand for a reprint, but most of the time there really is not. Yeah, so I guess that's it. That's that.
Before we go, a few years ago they were supposed to remake Monster Squad, and then I guess it just went into development hell and never came out. If they were to come out with a Monster Squad remake, would there be anything you guys would change? Would you go a more serious tone, darker tone? Would you make it more kid friendly? Certainly not going to be dropping any F-bombs in a PG version of this. Or...
I'd like to see it modernized, to be honest. I'd like to actually maybe see, maybe like their generation of generation, maybe like the original kid left something behind for the future, whoever, for the next 100 years, to hope that there's not like some sort of, I don't know, monster outbreak again for some weird reason.
Right.
That's a good question, though. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't know what I want.
Would y'all keep it like the same tone, or would y'all?
Unfortunately for me, we would, because of it being a remake, we have to change something, right? So, maybe instead of like a virgin girl, maybe like a virgin boy or something. You know, that would be kind of funny.
Or maybe see what it would look like with a more serious tone. I mean, I don't know. I like the classic, you know, cheesy comedy, you know, the cheesiness of it.
We all grew up with this movie, but we all grew up, so maybe the movie should grow up with us.
Yeah, more of a serious tone.
Yeah, and that's why I said a modernized take of it, I would say. That's what I would like to see. As long as it's done right. Definitely not like Rob Zombie's The Munsters.
Oh, no.
I can't wait.
You can't wait?
Can't wait for it.
The Monster Squad, celebrating the artists behind cinema's most memorable creatures. Yes, that book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dustin, there's like a... I'll delete this part real quick, but there, if you go down on the screen, there's like a section called chat, and it's like a little chat room. There's, I sent like two links there.
Okay, yeah, I got them.
But anyway, that's the book that we were talking about. Yeah, so I guess we'll just wrap it up then.
Yeah, I guess that's the Monster Squad, and it's a classic and still holds up to this day, as far as we're concerned.
And if you have any friends that have not seen this movie, you tie them down, throw them into a chair, and put like some stuff in. I don't even know what to call it, but just keep their eyes open, peeled to the screen.
Yeah, Clockwork Orange them.
Yeah, exactly. Clockwork Orange them. Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Yeah. So, I would suggest that. And if for some reason you have seen this and you don't like this, what the fuck is wrong with you? Or you have seen this and you don't like it, what the fuck is wrong with you? There we go.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, Justin, it was a pleasure, and thank you for hosting, and well, babe, it was nice to rewatch this 35 years later.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, I guess, without further ado, my name is Paul Dolsky, and I was joined with...
Tessa Baker.
And Dustin Walker.
And we want you all to
stay scary.